May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. So that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you might overflow with hope, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hello and welcome to our online contemporary service. It's great to have you with us. My name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints. And as you can see, I'm not coming from perhaps some of our usual venues, but I'm here at All Saints today, which is fantastic. And I hope you enjoy the context that we're in. Well, today is our final Sunday teaching into what it means to be called to be God's people. As we emerge out of the pandemic, as we rediscover what it is to be church, rediscover who it is to be the kingdom people here in our neighbourhood and Malvern. And as you know, all know, if you've been tracking with us, we've been teaching out of the letter to the Romans, and today we're going to be teaching out of chapter 15, when Dave is going to be teaching on called to hope, to be a people of hope. And what does that mean? And I just encourage you, though this is our last Sunday in what it means to be a people of God's people, to reflect back on recent weeks. What have we learned? What have we taken forward? What are the applications? It's not just meant to be good intellectual information, but things that will change us and build us and unite us as a people of God, a community of faith here in Malvern. So, yes, I hope that continues to be a blessing to you. And obviously things have changed this week with restrictions and lockdown. Please, lots of information on the newsletter about how we're doing that. We're going to take it really slowly. Yes, we're going to be able to start singing in church, but we're going to continue to encourage everybody to wear masks as far as possible and maintain social distancing, and for us to be wise and to keep safe and help you feel safe when you come to church. So that's the beginning intro to our time together. But let's take a moment of stillness to settle our hearts. Wherever you are listening and joining us, welcome the Holy Spirit into your space and give yourself to the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, come. Help us to be sensitive to you, to hear you in our worship, whether we're alone, whether we're with others. Come, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts. And let me read Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in his honour and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples and bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with shackles of iron to carry out the sentences written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Let me read that beginning bit but put us in it. Let us rejoice in our Maker. Let us, the people of God, be glad in their heavenly King. Let us praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. And so, Lord, we come together to worship you. And so let us stand and sing. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord
Lord, Heavenly Father, you are gracious and compassionate to each one of us. And whatever our week and our present lives look like, Lord, I just thank you that we continue to speak the truth that you're at the centre of all things and that we can draw upon you in the good and the challenging times, that we can come and worship you because you are the centre of all things. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I recently was privileged enough to spend some time on retreat just the other week. And I just want to share a little picture that the Lord revealed to me, which I hope will be a word of encouragement to us all. I was walking through the lanes of North Wales, and there were lots of foxgloves, the flowers. I hope you're familiar, and a picture will come up, and you'll be able to see that. But the Lord showed me, I was so enjoying the wonderful blossoms, those trumpet blossoms of the foxgloves. And the Lord began to speak to me that that's like you and I at this moment. We are in our bloom of the now. Even if things are difficult or good, we are in the now of the blossoms of those trumpets on the foxglove. But you know how the foxglove grows really high and tall. And I noticed that further down the stalk, there were the remnants of previous blossoms. They were almost pods, probably where the seeds are growing for future. But those hold the remnants of past stories, past experiences. Those are the remnants of the past blooms of the past. But above them stood the now. And it just spoke about, for the now, you stand on the experiences of the past. And then I looked to the top of these tall foxgloves. And of course, there was the future growth of the blooms to come out later. And they were the beginnings of the ongoing life of the foxglove. And as I looked at this tall foxglove, I just thought that spoke of the pilgrimage that each of us are on in life. Or as a church, there's that journey as the foxglove grows taller and taller and taller. The present blooms stand upon the experiences, whether they've been difficult or joyful or easy, whether they've whatever those experiences have been. The blossoms of today stand on the experiences that we've gone through in the past. But above us is the hope of an expectation of the future blossoms. And they're still developing and growing. And they are above us. And I just found that an incredibly hopeful and encouraging picture of our life pilgrimage. And I drew a lot of sustenance out of that. And I hope that might be something that when you're out walking and perhaps you see a foxglove, you might just see those different parts of this flower as it grows taller and taller. And each of us, and as a church community, we're growing taller and taller. We're standing on what's gone before. We are in the present, those beautiful purple blossoms. But we know that there are other things. There's a future hope. There are other hopes, other experiences still to come. And that was just a lovely picture that the Lord gave to me. And I share that, and I hope that will be an encouragement to you. So let me pray for us in light of that. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for that picture of the pilgrimage of life in the foxglove. That we stand on the experiences, all our experiences have nurtured and shaped who we are today, and the blossom and the glory and the colour that each one of us are at this time in God's eyes. And I thank you for the future plans, the future hopes and the future desires that have yet to blossom but are being grown right now in readiness for us. And I pray for encouragement and hope through all of that for us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, Roger's now going to bring us the reading, which is from Romans 15.
The reading is taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your word which brings us hope. And may we hear your words of hope today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at the start of the pandemic, we moved from a paper notice sheet to our weekly online mailing. And at the bottom of that mailing each week, I don't know whether you've noticed, has been a verse which has changed several times throughout the course of the pandemic, according to where we were and what we were teaching into at the time. And I look back this week to see what the very first verse that we put on the bottom of the mailing was back in March 2020. And as I thought, the verse was this one from today's passage. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that has been a verse that has sustained many of us over these last 17 months. So how fitting it is that on this first Sunday after restrictions have sort of been lifted, we have this verse to preach on. God's amazing timing. Again, just like last week's passage was amazing timing about masks, or how we applied it to masks. You see, God is a God who knows what is ahead. He's a God who goes before us and knows just what we need to encourage us, to help us to keep going, to help us to endure. And our job is simply to remain open and listening to his voice. And in effect, this is what this passage is all about here. The God who gives us endurance and encouragement. The God who gives us hope to keep going. This passage starts where we left off last week. It says in verse 1, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Underlining the message that has been there throughout these last three chapters that we've been looking at. We're here for each other. We are a body and we're called to care for each other, work together, love each other, build each other up and be united. I wonder how you are doing living that out in these last few weeks. I wonder how you've got on this week. Have you been thinking, always ask about my mask? Because ultimately, living this stuff out, living our lives for the other and seeking to build each other up in love is actually the mark of a mature Christian. You see, so often we make it about how much we know, but it's not about how much we know, Jesus says. It's about how much you live out. Are you demonstrating God's love? Are you demonstrating grace, patience, kindness, self-sacrifice to those around you, and particularly to those in the body of Christ? Are you demonstrating a Christ-like heart to others? For that is what Paul has been pointing to here, that we're to be imitators of Christ. For Christ, as he says, did not please himself, but others and God. For Christ, in verse 8, became a servant in order to fulfil his calling and bring his Father glory. So Paul reminds us that all he's been saying over the last few chapters of Romans is not simply about us following a set of rules or behaviour, but it's been about seeking to become more like Christ, seeking for our hearts to be aligned more to God's heart. That is what it's all about. But this morning I really want to focus on one word, and that is hope. And to unpack that in the rest of what I want to say on this passage. And so I want to ask us a question as we look back on the last 17 months. During this difficult time, what has given you hope? What has kept you encouraged and helped you to endure? I encourage you just to pause this video for a moment. If you're with others, just talk about it amongst yourselves for a few moments and reflect together. Well, I wonder what you've said. Perhaps people who've encouraged you. Perhaps the online services have encouraged you. Your life group, friends, hope of being reunited with family. Maybe even the England football team has brought you hope in these months. But I want to ask, what does this passage say about where we can find hope? Well, have a look at verse 4, because I think that is the key verse I want to unpack today. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You see, Paul points us to the place of hope, the book of hope, this book, the scriptures. I wonder how precious this is to you. I wonder if you see this book as a book of encouragement, as a book which helps you to endure. You know, sometimes it's when we're in the toughest times, that we appreciate the encouragement we can have from the scriptures most. I think of the story of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who helped to hide Jews in the Second World War until they were discovered by the Nazis and then taken off to Ravensbrück concentration camp. You know, in her book, The Hiding Place, about her experiences of surviving that concentration camp, she describes their most precious possession in that flea-infested, over-cramped barracks. And what was it? It was their Bible, which they managed to smuggle in. To them, it was more precious than bread. Here's how Corrie herself describes it. From morning until lights out, whenever we were not in ranks for roll call, our Bible was the centre of an ever-widening circle of help and hope. Like waifs clustered around a blazing fire, we gathered about it, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. words from Romans 8. She goes on, I would look about us as Betsy, that's her sister, read, watching the light leap from face to face. More than conquerors. It was not a wish, it was a fact. We knew it. We experienced it minute by minute. Poor, hated, hungry. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be. We are. What amazing words. And what an amazing example of this verse. For everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope, even in the depths of a Nazi concentration camp. And so I want to ask, how do these scriptures bring us hope? Well, here are five things, I think. Firstly, because they point us to the one who brings us hope. They point us to the God of hope. The scriptures show us what God is like. They reveal his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness, his faithfulness. Secondly, the scriptures bring us hope by reminding us of God's promises. His promise to always be with us. His promise to never give us anything we cannot bear. His promise of the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our guide. Thirdly, the scriptures bring us hope by telling us the stories of how God's acted in the past. They tell us the testimonies of those who've gone before us and of how God has been faithful to his people, and remind us of how God will be faithful to us again. A few weeks ago, when I returned from my retreat, I shared a couple of pictures in some of our services of my special trees. Trees that I took a picture of planted beside a bench. In this first picture here, you can see the amazing view of the fields and all the way down to the sea. Just a stunning, stunning view. But a few days later, when I took the same picture, the view looks like this. You know, and sometimes our view in life is like this, isn't it? We just see a fog. We can't see anything good ahead. We can't see the good that there is there that's just clouded over. And we struggle to find hope because of that cloud, of that fog. But what I think these stories in the Bible do, what I think people's and even our own testimonies do, is to remind us of the view that we can't see at that time. To remind us of the view of the God who's there still behind the fog and clouds. And in doing so, to give us hope to believe, even though we can't see it at the time. You know, that's what I think scripture and each other's testimonies often does. And that's how it brings us hope. Fourthly, the scriptures bring us hope, most importantly, by telling us the story of Jesus and how through the cross and resurrection we can be forgiven and our relationship with God restored. And fifthly, the scriptures bring us hope by telling us of the future hope that we have beyond the grave. That one day, whatever this life throws at us, whatever struggles and suffering, pain and despair we endure, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that one day all the darkness and evil, pain and suffering and death will be gone forever. And everything will be restored into a new heaven and a new earth, where God lives in perfect peace with his beloved children. You know, this is why the scriptures bring us hope. This is why this book is the most important and precious thing that we can have, especially in the darkest valleys. This is why it brought Corrie ten Boom encouragement and helped her to endure in Ravensbrück concentration camp when her faith must have been tested to the absolute limits. This is why one persecuted Christian who received a Bible from Open Doors, that the amazing organisation who we support, who work to support persecuted Christians all over the world, that person said this. said, "We are nothing without a Bible, but we can face everything, anything with it. Your gift of this book is the greatest gift." Do we see it that way? Do we realise the precious gift we have in our hands? Do we read it as avidly as those desperate women in the concentration camp did? You know, let us allow their amazing witness to be an inspiration to us, to turn us back to read and prioritise this book, and as we do, to find hope. In one of the Lectio 365 podcasts last week, and I really do encourage you to listen to those if you aren't already, just 10 minutes a day, so many of us find them so helpful. But in one podcast last week, there was a quote which really struck me. It was talking about prayer, and the person said this: "What might happen if instead of talking to God about my problems, my troubles, I talk to my troubles about God?" Let me say that again. What might happen if instead of talking to God about my troubles, I talk to my troubles about God? You see, the point they were making is that so often we have our eyes fixed on the problems, and we talk to God about our problems, keeping our eyes fixed on the problems, when really what we're called to do is to have our eyes fixed on God and to talk to our problems about God. You know, that's when I think we can really find hope. When we're people who so fix our eyes on the solution, on the God of all hope, that we see things through his lens, we see things from his perspective, we bring God to our situations. What does this mean in practice? Well, I want you to think now of a problem or a challenge or an anxiety that you currently are facing. If you need to stop and pause, then think of one. Now, what we'd all normally do is we would look at that problem and we would come to God and we'd talk to God about that problem. We'd say, you know, "God, I've got this problem. And I want you to fix it for me. You know, I'm really worried about this, and I think this is going to happen, and it's going to be awful, and I'm not going to cope, and help." Does anyone else pray like that sometimes? But what instead of fixing our eyes on the problem and talking to God about our problem, instead we fix our eyes on God and his character and his promises and talk to our problems about God, and bring God to our problems. And we say to God, "You know, God promises to always be with me. So even though I can't sense him at the moment, even though I've got this problem at the moment, you know, God's promise is that he's always with me, and that I have a sure and certain hope that he's there and will give me the strength to get through." That's talking to the problem about God. Or what about this? You know, "God's a God who is merciful and abounding in love. So, you know, I've got a problem that I've really messed up and I've let him down so badly that he's not going to love me, or that's what I think. But actually, I hold to the truth that God is a God who still loves me just as much and wants to show me even more mercy because of what I've done." Or what about this one? You know, "God promises that he will give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to walk alongside us and give us peace. So I'm scared right now and I've got this problem and I don't know whether I can do this, but I'm going to trust that the God who promises the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he's going to help me to trust and give me his comfort and give me his peace to enable me to overcome this." That's what it means, I think, to talk to our problems about God. So I want to invite you to do that right now with your problem, with your situation, with your issue. I want you in a moment to pause this service and to fix your eyes on God and not the problem, and to bring God to your problem. Talk to your problem about God and his character. Which bit of God's character do you need to focus on? What promise of God do you need to hear? And just take time to listen in the quiet to what God wants to say to you as you fix your eyes on him and bring him to your problem. And just hear him bring you hope that encourages you and allows you to endure. You know, I really don't want you to rush this. I really challenge you to pause for a good 5 minutes and just sit in silence and do that right now and see what God says and see if that changes things. So do it. Challenge you. Pause right now for 5 minutes and do that. Well, how did you find that? Did it help? I hope you've seen a little bit of how different it is when we bring God to our problems and talk to our problems about God, not just taking our problems to God and talking to God about our problems. Did you get that? I think I said it right. Can you see how doing that allows us to focus on the hope that God can bring? And as we find hope, verse 13 tells us that we are filled with joy and peace. Joy is that deep feeling which is so much more than just happiness. As one writer describes it, joy transforms difficult times into blessings and turns heartache into gratitude. Joy brings meaning to life. It brings life to life, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And then peace. You know, that peace which only God can give. That peace beyond all understanding. That peace that God's not abandoned us. That peace that God's still in control. That peace that our ultimate future is secure and glorious. You know, that's what I think Corrie ten Boom found in the darkness of Ravensbrück. That is what we can find in the darkest depths of our own life. And there's one more thing. Have a look at verse 13. You see, as we find that hope that only God can bring, it doesn't just stop with us and affect us. But if we let it, if we receive it, it will overflow from us. So that hope that we're given will pour out and overspill all around us to our needy world. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
Thank you, Dave. I hope that you took that opportunity to have a moment of quiet and to do the exercise that Dave called us to. Perhaps if you didn't and you were a bit apprehensive or uncertain, perhaps now is a moment you'd like to try that. But our prayer is that you would know the joy and the peace that comes from the God of hope. So let's just take that into worship now. If you want to pause and have a moment and do that exercise Dave called us to, or just come and dwell in a time of worship. Let us sing the heart of worship and dwell and draw upon the hope of God, knowing his joy and peace for ourselves, but for the world and the community around us. So let's worship.
Just to And so we now have a few minutes to think and pray for the needs of others in the world. And we try, Father God, to put aside our distractions, our random thoughts, and bring our attention and our concentration fully on the very real, impressing needs of so many people. And as I record these prayers, I'm conscious that it's the hottest day of the year. And so, Lord God, we lift to you the biggest issue of our time, which is the challenge of climate change. We think of the challenges this brings to your people, your created beings, whom you love so dearly. And we cry out for help, for our leaders, that they may see clearly this big picture. And the changes, the big changes that will be needed to preserve your created world as a hospitable and pleasant place to live, not just for us, but for our children, their children, and the generations to come. And we pray that we individually may accept our responsibilities and make whatever changes are necessary. And we think, particularly at this time, of the victims of climate change. And just in the past few days, we've seen pictures of fires out of control, temperatures soaring to levels never seen before, to disastrous floods, droughts, and failing crops. And so, in a moment or two of silence, we lift before you, Lord Jesus, the countless lives that have been disrupted, damaged, or lost because of this. We know that you hear our prayers, and we ask your Holy Spirit to bring comfort to the many hurting people and wisdom and courage for our world leaders. And Lord, it's not just the climate. We know the huge challenges facing us with the pandemic, for us as individuals, for us as a nation, and for us as citizens of the world. We ask you to help us to take sensible precautions and make wise choices. As a community and country, we pray that we may take corporate and individual responsibility, bringing to the forefront of our minds the difficult decisions that our leaders need to take. And so we pray especially for them at this time, that they will make good and wise choices on our behalf. We also lift to you, Lord God, those who are unable to take advantage of these new freedoms, for those who may be shielding and those who care for vulnerable people. Lord God, we pray that you will bring them comfort. We pray at this time for the NHS facing new pressures, for all the hard-working staff with the limited resources they have available. We also thank you for the skills and pray for those scientists who are developing new strains of vaccines and for those who are fighting for a fair distribution of vaccines for all humanity, that those with plenty will consider the needs of those with little, both in terms of stocks of vaccines and the means to distribute them properly. So all in all, Lord God, we just pray that this horrible virus will not mutate, that vaccines will work, and that humanity will learn the lessons about sharing, about kindness, and the knowledge that we are all one, interconnected species of human beings who need to consider each other. All under one sky, under your authority, our Creator God. And so we bring these big prayers to you because you are a big God, and we bring you these prayers in and through the name of Jesus. Doing this, believing, Lord, that you can affect change, believing that our prayers will make a difference, and believing that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And as we've heard in Romans, we do pray that we will be filled with all joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we finish by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, but celebrating in a sense the worldwide connectivity of humanity created by you, as we share together this Anglican version of the Lord's Prayer from New Zealand, which honours and reflects their indigenous Maori culture. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and all that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Barry, for leading us in those prayers. Now, we're beginning to draw to the end of our service, and just a number of, one key notice, that next week we are going to be joining in with new wine. And next Sunday will not be a normal service like this. We'll be looking at or watching and joining in the new wine services online. And the full details of those are in our newsletter. But just to get you excited, just to indicate that some of the people who are speaking through that 5 days of new wine starting on Friday, here's a promotional video, which you can also find on the website. But here is a short video to get you excited. So I hope that's got your juices going, and all the details we're going to be gathering at St Andrew's for most of those few days together. On the Saturday we're going to be up at All Saints here because there's a wedding at St Andrew's. But come and join us, come and join the fellowship and enjoy the teaching and the being able to pray and minister to one another. So let us now sing our final song together, Build Your Kingdom Here. It speaks so much of everything that we've been teaching into over the recent years, what it means to be the church here in Malvern, here in our neighbourhood, seeing God build his kingdom, healing those around us, and just a declaration that we are the church and we want the Lord to set us on fire for him once again. So let us stand and sing, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Increase in us, we pray.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we pray that you build your kingdom richer, deeper, wider and stronger into this place. And would you set our hearts on fire to be your church, to reflect your glory, and to be your hands and feet, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all those around us. And Lord, as we've learnt over these recent weeks, we're called to be God's people. Help us to be God's people as you desire it, Lord, here in Malvern. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're coming to the end of our service, and thank you for joining us. Bless you whatever you're doing this coming week and into the summer. But let me finish by reading from Romans and then the blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace today and through this coming week. To fill you with that joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Bless you and see you very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.